The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. We're going to do things a little different today. I'm going to have you actually sit on the floor instead of on the steps, and you'll see why in just a minute, okay? Everybody having a good week? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Come on up, and I'm going to do some things with you today. I'm going to show you a couple of things. There are pictures, okay? And I want you to tell me what you can see. I'm going to stand up here so that maybe some of the people out there can see them too, okay? All right, and we're going to start with this one right here. All right, so what do you see? An O, right, okay. Is there one or is there two? Two, you think? Okay, all right. There is two, and they're actually locked together. If you look real close, you can see that they're locked inside each other. So that's kind of cool, right? Okay. Well, here's number two, and I've got a question with this one. Which line is longer? The top or the bottom? You think the bottom is longer? Okay. What about anybody else? What do you think? No, actually, they're the same length. If we were to take the tracks off of there or the ladder, they would be the exact same length. They're the exact same line. That's right. It looks like that because it's farther away. Okay. This one is, tell me what you see. Okay. What do you see? A cup. Anybody else see anything different? Butterflies. Do you see two people facing each other? Ah, yeah, see? There's two things there, okay? What about this one? Now, this one is just a look at. It looks kind of funny. It looks like the world is sitting on the sidewalk, doesn't it? Okay? But actually, somebody was very, very smart, and they drew a picture with chalk. Okay? See if I can get it off of here because it's stuck to the other page. And if you turn and look, if you go look at it sideways, it looks like that. Okay? Now, here's my favorite. My wonderful puppy dog. You see the puppy dog peeking over? Looks like a puppy dog, doesn't it? What would you say if I told you it wasn't? It's a cat. You're seeing the back end there, and then he sticks his head up. So you think it's a dog, but it's a cat. So why did I show these to you? Well, it's in our gospel lesson. Listen carefully. Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, "I am he," and they will lead many astray. I think you just saw it's really easy to think you see one thing when actually it's something else. And that's what Jesus is afraid of. He's also afraid because people are starting to talk about the end times. And here's why that's important. There was a pastor in South Korea who said, I have talked to God. I know exactly when the world is going to end. It's going to end at 2 o'clock on this date. So everybody sell everything you own. And they did. They sold their houses. They sold their cars. They sold the kids' toys. They sold all their clothes. And they met at the 2 o'clock at that date in the church where he told them to meet because the world was going to end. And guess what happened? 2:15. 2:30. It's 3 o'clock. And they had sold everything that they owned. So how do we know? How do we know what's right? And how do we know when somebody's trying to lead us astray? Well, the answer's back in our scriptures again. In our second lesson, this is the covenant that I will make with them. The Holy Spirit says this. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. The Holy Spirit says that. Where do we get that then? Where do we get that written on our hearts and our minds? Don't have to worry about us being heart surgeons, right? The Holy Spirit said this. Where do we get it? We get it here, right here in this place, in this wonderful worship we're having today, our wonderful worship every Sunday. We get it downstairs in Sunday school. We get it in your Bible when you read it at home. The Holy Spirit does that. Many of you might remember a couple of Bible schools ago, we did something like that. How do you know it's in your heart and your mind? Well, that's because you have faith. Do you remember this? You can't see it. But when the light shines on it, you know it's there. That's what that Holy Spirit's talking about. Come to this place and let my spirit and God's word and Jesus' love be part of you. So, I've got helpers over there. They've got markers just like I do, and we're going to put a cross on your hand, okay? So that you will know that the Holy Spirit is talking to your hearts and minds, okay? But let's do a prayer first, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to look for the truth and help us to know that you will help us find that truth through your word, through your love, and through your Holy Spirit. Let that Holy Spirit write your law and your love on our hearts and minds so that we may not only serve each other, but serve others in the world as well. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So go get your cross from the acolytes over there and have a good week.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The seasons are changing. We've had a few cool nights or cool mornings. It's felt pretty fresh a couple of days. We can tell that the weather's starting to shift maybe a little bit. We were kind of maybe wondering if it ever would again. Seems like we had an extra month of summer this year. It's been warm weather and dry weather lately, but you can tell it's starting to shift a little bit. In just a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, and then after that, the next one rolls around with Advent and Christmas. The seasons change, and so it is too with the church year. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. It's Christ the King Sunday, and then we begin a new one. The week after that, we'll be starting into Advent already. Seasons change, our church years change. And in our gospel lessons today, the gospel lesson and also in the book of Daniel, we hear about the end times, that everything is going to change, and it's going to change very drastically. In the gospel lesson for today, the disciples and Jesus had gone into the temple. It takes place during that time that we know of Holy Week. It was about in the middle of that Holy Week, Tuesday or Wednesday of Holy Week. In just another day or two, Jesus would be betrayed. He would be arrested. He would go to the cross. He would die. He would be buried. And then he would be raised again. And so it's a very intense time that the disciples are there. Each day of Holy Week, Jesus would come back. He would stay at Bethany, just outside of town. But then each day, he would come back in and go to the temple or the temple courtyard and visit with people, talk with people, teach, tell some parables. On this day that Jesus was there, he was inside, and that's the story immediately before this is where Jesus was in the temple watching the widow woman with the offering and giving her just her two pennies for her offering. But it's an intense time. Jesus has already run in a couple of times with religious leaders. They've challenged him. They've tried to test him. They've tried to trap him. And so they come out of the temple, but the disciples are amazed at that temple because the temple is beautiful. I think it's still even under construction at that point, so it's brand new. You have all these new, fresh-cut stones. You have all this beautiful woodwork inside. You have gold. You have silver inside the building and on the outside with all the ornamentation, the cut stones and everything. And they're just amazed at how massive the whole building is and also how massive some of the stones are. And they make a comment of that isn't this place wonderful? And it was supposed to be wonderful because it was the temple. It was to give glory to God. And then later on, the disciples go ahead and go outside the city, and they go to the Mount of Olives, which is across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem. And they could still see that temple shining in the light because it's fresh cut stone, and so it is bright, shining in the sun, and it's a big part of the skyline of Jerusalem, that massive building. But they're concerned. What Jesus had said, that not one stone would be left upon another, and they were concerned about that. You know, there always seems to be a fascination with destruction. And also, too, with a lot of Christian groups, there's a fascination with the end times. And that seems to be the core of where they are at. And they use those scripture passages, such as out of Daniel or out of Revelation or even here out of Mark or even Matthew picks up on some of that as well, too. And they try to figure out exactly, as Terry was talking about in his children's sermon, exactly when that date will be when Jesus is coming back. But we are not to know that. And so the disciples were very much concerned too. They said, when will this take place? What will be the signs that it's taking place? And Jesus tells them, do not be led astray. As Terry was telling in his story that, you know, religious leaders can be very powerful. And they can convince people to do whatever they want to convince people to do. And we've heard those stories throughout our lifetimes of the tragedies that have happened out of some of the cults. For us, even there is a sense of morbid fascination with the end times, of wars, of earthquakes, of famine, of fires, of destruction. And people are always thinking it's getting close to the end. The signs are there. And as our weather, you know, we've seen some intense storms in the past couple of years. We've seen intense fires. And we think the end times are coming, and we get fascinated, and it's easy to be led astray simply by our own thoughts or to cling to those very own thoughts of it's coming to an end. And it generates fear within us. But Jesus assures his disciples, and also to our reading out of Hebrews today, reassures those early Christians, do not fear. Do not be troubled because you have been given the promise of everlasting life. If we stop and think about it, all these things that we know, all these accomplishments that have been accomplished here on this earth will be no more. Think about this place. 300 years ago, it was just rolling hillsides, brush, a few trees, some grass. That's what was here. And look what's been put, just even here in our town, with with all the buildings, the roads, the bridges, schools, playgrounds, all that is right here. But it will be no more. Or think about your own lives, what you have tried to put together, of raising kids, of having relationships, of having a marriage, or building up your ranches, having a nice home, taking care of your yards, having your business, building a business. All that will be no more. Or you think about all the stuff that people have come up with over the years. I mean, the advancements in science, the advancements in medicine, the thoughts, the philosophies, the religions. All that will be no more. Not one stone will be left upon the other. There is a time that's coming. There is a time that's coming when everything that we know of life here on this earth will be no more. And there's a morbid fascination with that. But again, that should not generate fear within us. It should generate hope, because along with all this stuff that we've built and developed and done, even though that will be gone, all the pain, all the anger, all the fear, all the hopelessness, all that pain will also be no more. Because God will be coming back. Jesus will return. He will be here. That promise has been made that Christ will come again. And when he comes again, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. A new city of God will be here. And for those who do believe, those who do believe of what Jesus Christ has done for us, of going to the cross, of suffering many things, of dying and being raised again, we are tied to that. And that is our future. It's not a future of destruction. It's a future of life with God, a life better than anything we have known on this earth. Christ is coming. He is coming again in his glory. He is coming again in his forgiveness. He's coming again in his mercy. He's coming again in his love. And we will be a part of that. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.